Thank you, Pastor Tony. It's a great privilege to be here this morning. My accent is a little weird, but the main points of my message will be coming in the screen, so you will understand more. And before I preach from the Word, I would like to have a 4 minutes presentation of our work back in India, so that you can pray for us. So we will go for that.
Sound is not coming. Culturally and religiously, despite its vast population, Christianity remains a minority religion, with around 2.4% of the population identifying as Christians. Many regions, especially in rural and unreached areas, have little exposure to the gospel. That's why Jovest Varghese has dedicated his life to reaching the unreached, going where few have gone, meeting people where they are, and sharing the hope of Jesus. His work extends beyond evangelism. He is actively involved in church planting, rescuing individuals from sex trafficking, drug abuse, and other life-threatening situations. For him, it's about building relationships, teaching the word, and bringing lasting transformation to those who have never heard the gospel. Working alongside Spring Valley Baptist Ministries, he has been instrumental in planting churches across India, reaching some of the most unreached regions. His effort has led to establishment of 29 churches in Kerala, Odisha, Andaman Nicobar Islands, Chennai, and Maharashtra. More than 20 of these churches operate as house churches, but there is a pressing need for funding to purchase land and build permanent church buildings. The ministry is deeply committed to discipling young men and women, equipping them to share the love of Christ and expand the reach of the gospel. This mission is carried out through small groups, house churches, door-to-door evangelism, feeding the homeless, and hosting Vacation Bible School, among other initiatives. Additionally, the ministry runs a dedicated Bible school where 16 to 20 students graduate each year, trained and empowered to step into the mission field and transform lives for Christ. There are countless stories of transformation, but one that stands out is the journey of Pastor Justin from Chennai. He gained the trust of a community of lepers and gypsies, people who are often marginalized and outcast by society, simply by sharing meals and having fellowship with them. His willingness to embrace and love those whom others rejected has opened doors for gospel to take root in their lives, bringing hope and healing to a community that had long been forgotten. These young girls and boys, once victims of sex and drug trafficking, have now found hope and transformation through Jesus. However, most come from financially disadvantaged backgrounds, leaving them with limited opportunities for a better future. As a ministry, Spring Valley Baptist Church carry the burden of ensuring they receive an education, empowering them to rebuild their lives and step into a future filled with hope and purpose. The work of this ministry is transforming lives, planting churches, rescuing the lost, discipling future leaders, and bringing hope to the most vulnerable. But this mission cannot continue without the faithful support people like you. With so many in need, we invite you to partner with us through monthly giving. Your generosity will help build churches, provide education for rescued children, train future missionaries, and bring the gospel to those who have never heard it. Every gift, no matter the size, makes an eternal impact. Join us in this mission and be a part of God's work in reaching the unreached in India.
It's not about me, it's about Jesus. I already told my dad was a missionary, and God called me to do his work. God enabled me to go to different places with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were able to train several young people, disciple several young people. You have seen in that video, 29 churches we planted in 5 states. But it's not a one-man show. We trained other pastors and leaders. You know, in every state, different languages. Over 1 billion population. Among the South Asian countries, India has the largest concentration of the lost people groups in the whole world, because it is the second largest populated country in the world. Only 1.5 real Christians. And India is a place where Christians are very badly persecuted. So I covet your prayer and support for this ministry. As we are training young people, we need to support them, and God is at work and continue to pray for us. And as you have seen, the topic of the message that God had led me in my heart is stay focused on Jesus Christ. He is the greatest missionary ever walked in the face of this earth. He's our example. So the test is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. This epistle was written to the Jewish Christians who were facing persecutions and afflictions. Last Sunday also we heard from the book of Hebrews. And many were tempted to go back from their faith. So the Hebrew writer is encouraging them to have their focus on Jesus Christ. What does it mean to have focus on Jesus Christ? To be filled with the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, he said like this, I count everything but dung by the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering. We don't serve a God who is in the grave. He's a risen Savior. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. So, Hebrews is a book of evaluation. I would like to just draw the panorama of the book of Hebrews first. So the word better is used 13 times. Better covenant, better hope, better promises, better sacrifice, better resurrection, better country. And all this has to do with the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And the word greater is used 6 times. And the word perfect is used 14 times. All these points to the superiority of Jesus Christ. Faith is the telescope that helps us to see the invisible. So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 starts like this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. We see the book of the chapter 11, all faith warriors. And Hebrews is a book of examination also. See, we see about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and all these people are faith warriors. But in chapter 12, the Spirit of God is telling, don't look to these people. Look unto Jesus. Because even though they are all faith warriors, they have their own shortcomings and failures in their lives. But Jesus is the perfect man who didn't have any sin, who ever walked in the face of this earth. That's why Hebrews chapter 12 starts like this. Since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, all the people who are mentioned in chapter 11 are the cloud of witnesses. They are the great faith warriors, but they are not the author of faith. Author of faith is Jesus Christ. And we know, but we have to examine something. Abraham is called the father of faith. But God told Abraham, take your son whom you love, take to Mount Moriah and make him a sacrifice. He took his son. God doesn't want human sacrifice. But God wants to let Abraham know that from his seed, one man will climb Mount Calvary. Now, when he was about to sacrifice Isaac, God blessed him. God provided a lamb there. And that lamb is talking about Jesus, who is to die on the cross of Calvary. The timing is running out, so I have to go very fast. So, here we see Hebrews chapter 12, was, since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin so easily ensnares us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race. See, two terms Apostle Paul always uses. One is walk. Walking talks about Christian life, but running the race talks about your ministry or your service. See, here we read that the race that is set before us. Who set that race? The author of faith set that race. The one who had given you life had set that race. A ministry. He had given you a ministry. And you have to run with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And we need to understand that everyone, those who are born again, they have a ministry to do. Maybe it's praying for some people. Maybe doing street ministry, giving out tracts, sharing gospel, helping in the church, bringing somebody to Christ, or helping some people, or helping some missionaries, whatever it is, what God had given you, you need to do it with patience. We have to run the race with patience. So, do you know how many things the devil kept us from doing that God called us to do? Don't look for perfect circumstances or timings. That will never come. The real faith is trusting God's timing. See, our God is a God of impossibilities. He created everything out of nothing. So if He called you, He is able to do it. Not with your strength, but by His strength. And we need to trust God. We can do wonders through our lives. So sometimes fear wasted a lot of years. And we need to run with patience or endurance. It's perseverance. Somebody had told like this. I heard that there is no snakes in New Zealand. Praise God for that. You know, somebody had told that it is perseverance that made snail. How many of you had seen snail? Oh. It's perseverance that made the snail to enter to the Noah's Ark. So the cheetah was running so fast, within two steps, he went into the Noah's Ark. Poor snail, slowly going. But God waited till the snail entered the ark. That's the patience of God. Perseverance. See, when the Spirit of God gave the message to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, one word is being repeated time and again. The one who overcomes. The one who overcomes. The one who overcomes. We need to be overcomers because Jesus is an overcomer. So, sacrifice of Christ is greater than the Old Testament sacrifices. And we need to understand that we need to run the race abiding the laws. Some people, there is track. That's the word of God. Abiding the word of God, we need to do the ministry. See, five aspects, I think, five aspects that make us drift away from our faith. First is doubting the word. That's given in the book of Hebrews. Second one is dullness towards the word. That's they lost the spiritual interest in learning the word of God. Third one is despising the word, chapter 10, willful disobedience to the word of God. Fourth is defying the word, that is refusing to hear. The fifth one is departing from the word. That's very dangerous. Chapter 12, 25 to 29. Severe consequence we have to face if we depart from the word. So we need to run the race with patience. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So the book of Hebrews is a book of exaltation. This book shows that the three offices of Jesus Christ. He's a prophet, he's a priest, and he's the king. And Jesus is the creator and the sustainer of the universe. And he's the express image of God. Christ is greater than the angels, the prophets, Moses, and the high priest Aaron. All is given because Hebrew writer is trying to prove that Jesus is superior than anyone to the Hebrew believers. So, it's a book of exaltation. Sacrifice of Christ is greater than the Old Testament sacrifice. So the Hebrew writer is trying to convince that Hebrew Christians that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all Old Testament prophecies. So he's encouraging them to focus on Jesus Christ and remain faithful to them. We look unto Jesus, we see his unfailing love. See, the prayer of Jesus, just before going to the cross, he prayed a prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. See, Hebrews 5:7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. The question is, was Jesus trying to pray that he could escape the death on the cross? Absolutely no. Read Luke chapter 22, verse 43, 44. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sweats were drops of blood coming out. Jesus knows that he is going to die there. And Jesus prayed to the Father, God, please heal me. I don't want to die in Garden of Gethsemane. I want to go to Calvary. That's my mission. So he prayed and God sent the angels. That's what the book of Luke says. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven. Strengthened him. Why he prayed that? Because he loved you and me. He wants to die for you and me. Suffering the world's rejection, sacrifice and resurrection. This is what love is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God the Father loved the world and he gave his Son. God the Son loved the world and he gave his life. So Jesus went to the cross. Many people think that, oh, very sadly, Jesus went to the cross. The Hebrew writer is telling, in the chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. That means Jesus went to the cross with great joy. What was that joy? See, joy that was set before him endured the cross. Let me tell you the joy that Jesus had. His joy was he could save many, many brethren from the eternal hell. That's you and me. He had that in his heart. If I go and make a sacrifice for myself on the cross of Calvary, I can save millions and millions of people from hell. With that joy, He went to the cross. Like the father waiting for the prodigal son to come back. What joy when the father saw that his son coming back. He was stinking and, all bad smell, but father was not careful about all those things. He went and hugged him. That's a picture of the Heavenly Father. You may be in a horrible situation of sinful life. Never had a relationship with Christ. You may know Jesus in your knowledge, but you may not have him in your heart. But still, he's waiting because he loves you. The second joy was he can restore fellowship with the Father. You know what was the greatest pain that Jesus had on the cross of Calvary? His father left him. It was not the soldiers with the spear, they were hurting him. That was not the great pain Jesus had. Deep down in the heart of Jesus, the great pain Jesus had is his father left, forsake him. That's why he cried, my father, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus knew it very well. Once he finished the work of salvation on the cross of Calvary, he's going to restore back that fellowship with the Father. With that joy, he endured the cross. And third thing is the great joy that Christ had, that he can bring victory over sin, death, Satan, and grave. That's what Colossians chapter 14, verse 14 and 15, it says. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Jesus had real victory over. He crushed Satan's head on the cross of Calvary. See, the handwriting of requirements that was against us. My name was written, Joe West Varghese, doomed to hell. There Jesus put his hand and the nails came out. The blood rushed out. And the blood wiped out all the handwriting which was written against me about everyone, those who put their faith in Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He is superior among everyone. That's the book of Philippians, it says, he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. For God had exalted him, given him a name above all name. And in his name, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord. So, he has already defeated Satan. He's a defeated enemy. And Jesus is enough for us. He's the author of our faith. And he's the finisher of our faith. What does it mean? We need to understand that as children of God, we are eternally secured. It's not by our power we go to heaven. It's by his power. See, 1 Peter 1, 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. It's not by my holiness. It's not by my walking close to God. I need to do all these things. I need to be holy as a child of God. But it's not the matter that take me to heaven. It's by his power. And we need to have a closer walk with him, who loved us with an everlasting life. when Jesus was on the cross, suddenly darkness came. The sun silently told the Roman people, the Roman soldiers, you crucified the light of the world. There was a great earthquake happened, and the earth was silently telling, you crucified the creator of the universe. And many graves were opened, testifying that he is the resurrection and the life. What a great Savior we serve. We are in the presence of an awesome God who knows us. That's why David the psalmist, he said, whither shall I go from your spirit? Whither shall I go from your presence? If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the earth, you are there. Your very presence is there. He's a great God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. So, he's worthy of worship, and we are eternally secured. Lastly, Hebrews is a book of expectation, looking for a world that is to come. Abraham, by faith, he journeyed. He looked for a city that was not built by man. The creator and designer was God himself. That's our future hope. And Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. And we need to understand that we are co-heirs with Christ. We have an eternal inheritance. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. And our expectation is our Jesus is going to come back again. He came. When he first came, nobody understood who he really is. But when he's going to come the second time, he's going to come with his heavenly armies. He's the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. That's why the Hebrew writer wrote, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. What he's doing? He's interceding. He's doing the work of an attorney or an advocate, interceding for you and me. My blood is enough, my blood is enough, my blood is enough. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So we need to understand that, as I told you, it's a book of examination. Do I really put my faith in Jesus? And do I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If you don't have, open your heart to him. Pray to him. I know I don't have to say this into the church, but, you know, we need to examine our lives. Am I living by faith as a pilgrim in this world? Or am I living by sight as a worldly man? Am I running the race that God had set before me in my lifetime? Am I acknowledging the superiority of Christ in all areas of my life? May God bless us. May the Spirit of God continue to speak to us, pray for us. So thankful to Pastor Tony and all of you for listening to me. God enabled me to come here. Stand before you by his grace.
We are leaving on next Wednesday back to India. So I appreciate your prayers. India is a very, very tough place to work. We have lot and lot of oppositions, persecutions, lot of things. But the one who had gone ahead of us, that is Jesus, stands always with us. Thank you. May God bless you.
I'm just going to pray for Jovis before we finish the service. Let's pray. Father God, we can't really understand what it is that Jovis is going into the graphics, highlighting the ministry, but as he said, what we don't see is the persecution and the challenges and the incredible opposition. We feel that we may have had a taste of that this week, some of us in some situations or other weeks. We really know very little of what it would be like to be in his situation. Lord, Jovis has stood before us and preached your word faithfully, invited us to join in this journey of suffering that he is walking, and that our Lord Jesus, that you, Lord Jesus, called us into. But as he has done that, he has said, please pray, because even though I know the situation and I know what it's like, I need your prayers. I need the strength that comes from God alone. So Lord, we ask that you would strengthen him, encourage him. As Monica and him return on Wednesday, would he do with his heart lifted up, knowing that this is merely a temporary time of suffering? But as Jovis said in his message, Jesus said, I will die on the cross because as a result of that, millions and millions will have a way of salvation. May Jovis know a small measure of that, then by going back and that suffering that he is enduring, that many, many, many will come to know you, Lord Jesus, as Lord and Saviour. Bless this man. Thank you for his faithfulness, his humility, and his example to us. We wish him Godspeed as he goes from here. Amen.